Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Friends with Money podcast. My name is Tom Watson, a senior journalist here at Money Magazine, and it's a pleasure to be with you again. Today, we're talking about transport and car costs, as well as some ways to save, which we'll be discussing at the end. And now it may be just because I filled up our car twice over the weekend, but driving definitely doesn't feel cheap at the moment. I mean, nothing does right now, though, does it? So to fill us in on what's happening and to give us some pointers as to where we can potentially save, I'm pleased to say that our guest today is a man who knows all about the subject. It's Peter Currie of the NRMA. Thanks for coming on the show, Peter.
Thank you for having me.
To start us off, can you give us an overview of the biggest pain factors for drivers and commuters at the moment when it comes to cost?
Fuel, overwhelmingly, and it has
You might know that, yeah.
And it has been like this now for quite some time. I mean, we know that overall transport costs have been going up. We saw some relief in terms of the affordability of getting car loans at the earliest stages of this year because of the price of cars had fallen last year. But that has clearly changed now, well and truly. But if you look at the last 12 to 18 months, overwhelmingly fuel costs have been the absolute burden right across Australia for families. It's had an enormous impact on economic output. Businesses have had to carry that cost, and obviously this is a global factor, but certainly in Australia, where so much of our economy runs on fuel, it has hurt.
And listen, I think everyone's probably going to be aware that prices have gone up, you know, they've been higher than they have been this year. But, you know, for people that don't know, what's actually been driving those relatively high prices?
Yeah, well, there's a couple of factors. We started to see prices spike last year as the world started to come out of the COVID lockdown, the global COVID lockdown. So what we started to see was we went from, you know, no economic activity to lots of economic activity in a very short period of time. A good indicator of that is demand for oil. Globally, demand for oil spiked quite quickly as the world started to come out of lockdown, and supply at no time kept up with demand. There's a couple of reasons for that. One is artificial. OPEC and other oil-producing countries kept an artificial lid on production levels to inflate the price of the barrel, but also, and particularly for the smaller oil-producing countries, they simply couldn't ramp up production. You know, a number of those countries, particularly the ones in Africa and some of the smaller Middle Eastern producing countries, were still struggling with COVID, so they just simply couldn't produce oil at the rate that the world needed it. The United States effectively shut down its oil production, and it takes a long time for it to ramp back up again. So for much of the latter half of calendar year 2021, so from pretty much the last 4 or 5 months of last year, demand for oil globally was increasing quite dramatically. Supply was nowhere near where it needed to be. That put the price of oil up, and then Russia invaded Ukraine. And that completely sent things into a tailspin. So Russia, obviously being one of the largest oil-producing countries, the mere fact that it invaded a sovereign country caused the markets to spiral out of control. And then the inevitable sanctions that were applied saw oil prices jump to record high levels. And that's why if people were feeling the pinch, it's because we were paying the highest prices we've ever paid before.
And is that still the case right now, as we record at the start of August? Are fuel prices as expensive as they were in, say, March?
At the time of recording, no. So the worst they absolutely got was in the middle of June when petrol prices in Sydney, across most of the capital cities in Australia, well and truly breached the $2 a litre mark on average. You know, most of the larger capitals got to $2.20 at its absolute worst. We have now started to see some relief. Oil prices have fallen about $40 a barrel since then, and that is now starting to get passed on to most parts of the country. So we're starting to see falls. Obviously, at the time of recording this podcast, they haven't fallen at the rates that we would expect. Most Australian cities, most regional towns haven't fallen to the levels we need them to, but they have certainly started to fall. So we've gone away from those record high prices, and the hope is that those falls will continue.
So on that, and obviously, as you've been saying, prices have come down a little bit. Has that been helped by the current 22 cent a litre fuel excise cut, which was introduced in March and which is due, as far as I'm aware, to come to an end in September? Has that helped out with prices? And I guess, you know, the reverse of that, when it does, or if it does come to an end in September, are they likely to rise again?
Yeah, look, that's a really good point. They will rise again. So basically what happened was the previous government introduced a 50% cut on the fuel excise that we pay at the bowser. Mm. It was at the time around 44 cents a litre, and in addition to that, we pay the GST. And so effectively 22 cents per litre was removed off the wholesale price. Now, most oil companies, most service stations passed that on. Some passed on part of it. Some passed on all of it, but didn't pass on the falls in oil prices, et cetera, et cetera. And that was always going to be the challenge with using the excise, or using tax as a way to deliver budget relief, because there are so many factors when it comes to the price of petrol that mm-hmm. governments don't control. And so, yes, it did see prices come down. Did they come down to the extent that was expected? Well, some places it did, some places it didn't. Yes, prices will go back up. Wholesale prices will go back up at the end of September when that 50% excise relief is lifted. The government has absolutely said now on a number of occasions that is going back on. But what does it mean in terms of at the end of September? Well, the major factor that determines petrol prices isn't tax in Australia. Mm. It's the price of oil per barrel. And the only way we're going to get meaningful relief, sustained meaningful relief at the bowser, if those oil prices continue to fall. Now, at the same time that the excise was cut by half, we were still paying record high prices. Yes, that could have been even worse than what it currently was. But if you're a family going to fill up at the bowser and you're paying $2.20 a litre on average for regular unleaded, you're not really feeling the love in terms of what that excise cut meant. And so what does it mean at the end of September? Well, that will be determined by the price of the barrel, price of oil at the barrel. If it continues to fall, then that increase obviously will be felt. But when you consider the fact that we were paying $2.20, then it will not be anywhere near $2.20 when it goes back up. If oil prices spike again, well, it's just the pain will just be multiplied.
I think that's a really good point, and it's a bit of a wait and see then as to what exactly that means. But moving on and away from petrol prices, I think anyone driving in New South Wales at least, and I know I did over the weekend, but I'm sure this affects people in other parts of the country as well. Everyone's going to be aware of the kind of incredible number of potholes on the road at the moment, and I believe that the NRMA has recently conducted some research on this. So first of all, Peter, what's caused this big spike in potholes out there?
Yeah, huge spike in potholes, and as a result, huge spike in damage to vehicles. So what's basically happening right across the eastern seaboard of Australia, as most people know, there's been a lot of rain. We have had record rain levels across New South Wales, Queensland in particular. Certainly, coastal New South Wales, Sydney has just been pummeled for several months. And when you get a lot of sustained rain, roads that didn't have potholes suddenly develop potholes. Roads that had potholes see those potholes get even bigger. And because it just wouldn't stop raining, councils couldn't go out and fix the potholes that were there. And so they just kept getting bigger and bigger, and the damage was just growing. And so we've seen record numbers of call-outs for our roadside patrols to fix damaged tyres, damaged wheels. The size and scale of the damage to the road network meant that in many cases, it wasn't just a matter of us being able to go out and change someone's tyre. The damage was so severe that the car had to be towed. That is a considerable cost burden for people. And in this current climate where everything is so much more expensive because of global supply chain issues, the cost of getting your car fixed, the cost of getting your wheels replaced are just so much more than they used to be. So not only is it having a – does it have a safety impact, but it also has a cost impact to government councils who are constantly having to send maintenance crews out to fix these potholes, and to drivers who are paying a lot more to get their cars fixed than they used to.
And is the government, or various levels of government, are they kind of addressing this fast enough, or is it simply a matter, like you said before, that they just haven't been able to because of the weather that we've been having on the East Coast?
Yeah, well, about 80% of the bitumen across Australia, so about 80% of the road network is maintained by councils. And they rely, most councils just don't have the revenue streams to be able to maintain those roads at the levels that we would expect in a country like Australia. And so they do rely on additional funding from state and federal government. The NRMA has been on quite a mission now for the last couple of years to make sure that those funding levels are increased, particularly for regional and outer suburban councils that just don't have the money that, say, Sydney City Council or Sydney or Waverley Council, or, and the same applies to other capital cities as well. So they just don't have the money. And so they rely on additional funding streams from the federal and state government. And the NRMA's job is to make sure that we put enough pressure on governments to allocate funding in their budgets so that councils do get the money that they need. The challenge for councils is that even when they do get the money, if it keeps raining, if it doesn't stop raining and stop for an extended period, then they just can't get out there and fix the damage to the extent that they would like. It's one thing to go out and do a bit of patchwork, but in order to significantly replace the bitumen and fix the road, it takes more time, and it takes dry weather and sustained periods of dry weather. And we just haven't been getting, you know, enough dry weather for the councils to be able to do that work. We've seen a bit of relief for the last few days, but in the early parts of August, but you know, the forecast long term isn't great. So, you know, they need sunshine to fix the roads, and they're not getting it.
I tell you what, I mean, I hope that comes, because as I said, driving back from the coast on the weekend, it was pretty terrible at times. So,
absolutely. Earlier in the year, I went up to the Hunter Valley, and it was, you know, some of those roads were third world, and it was no fault of the regional council up there. It's just that there was just so much rain. And they just couldn't. And these are busy tourist roads, and we're talking about the wineries in the Hunter Valley of New South Wales. But some of those roads were, pretty poor.
Well, fingers crossed that they'll get some love soon. And really feel for people that have to cop a trip for the repairs after hitting one of those. But I guess a place to finish off today, Peter, and one that we've already heralded is, you know, on savings, because obviously a lot of people are around the country are looking to cut back on their living costs at the moment, and one of the ways that they can do it is through their transport and car costs. So do you have any kind of recommendations or tips for people out there that they can employ at this point in time?
Yeah, well, I mean, looking at the costs across the board in terms of the various costs that we attribute to transport, as I mentioned, the main one continues to be fuel, whether that's metropolitan or regional areas. Yes, there are other contributing factors like toll roads, which continue to go up in places like Sydney. But when you look at the rather dramatic increases in petrol prices over the last two quarters in particular, anything we can do to help reduce the cost of fuel at the bowser for people will go some way to reducing your overall costs. Now, in most parts of the country, there is some form of real-time data, which means that if you, well, it started in 2016, the NRMA campaigned to get changes or laws introduced, which meant that every service station in the state had to post their price in real time, and that information would then become available to the community for free. And so that's what we've done in New South Wales. You know, if you're going to go fill up, you get on the NRMA app, or you go on the government's fuel check website, and you find the cheapest petrol in your area, but rather than just getting in and taking a guess. Now, what does that mean? Well, you know, at the time of recording this interview, the cheapest service station in Sydney is $1.549 and the most expensive is $1.909. So there's a significant saving, and that's the cheapest to the most expensive across the whole city. That plays out in all of the capital cities right now. In regional areas, the gaps aren't as wide, but they're still sometimes 10 to 15 cents. So if we can get people filling up at the cheapest service station in their local area, rather than even having to go around and find the absolute cheapest, just finding a bargain locally, conservatively, you can save about $500-$600 a year at the Bowser. Jeez. As petrol prices go up, those costs, those savings go up if you fill up at the right place. Filling up at the right time is also critical, because the major capital cities in Australia all have price cycles. So if you can pick the time to fill up, and that is namely at the bottom of the cycle, the average price difference between the bottom and the top can be as much as 40 or 50 cents a litre. So there's significant savings there. So there are practical measures that you can take to save at the Bowser, and that's important right now because of the cost of fuel. The only jurisdictions in Australia that don't have that available to their communities is ACT and Victoria. So we would very much like to see something like that introduced in those states and territories. Everywhere else, you get a chance to save. Other saving measures across the country right now, across the transport sector right now, well, interest rates are going up. So if you get borrowing money to buy a car, be very careful right now, because you'll be paying more than you were 12 months ago. So make sure you do your research. Car costs in general are significantly higher than they've been because of supply chain issues, but just not for love nor money can you get yourself a new car. And that's going to continue to play out. So, you know, do your research if you're in the market to buy a new car, especially if you're in the market to buy a secondhand car. Some of the secondhand cars that are on sale now are selling for more than the new equivalent.
Is that right? That's incredible.
Which is incredible. The secondhand market in Australia has gone through the roof because we just can't get enough new cars to satisfy the new car market. So be very careful. If you can delay buying a car, do so until we start to see things stabilize a bit. We don't know when that's going to happen, but it certainly should. And also, if you're living in those capital cities that have toll roads, you know, be aware of the fact that, you know, as interest rates and inflation goes up, toll roads go up as well. Some of those contracts are linked to inflation, so they're going to go up even higher. So there are little things you can do to reduce the cost of getting around. Shop around if you're getting your car serviced, because as I mentioned, everything is costing more now. Parts are costing more. Labor is costing more. It's getting harder for service providers to find good staff. So their labor costs are going up, and that's getting passed on to the consumer. So everything is going up. And so if you're out shopping for anything that relates to transport, do your research, get online, shop around before you go and pay those costs.
I think that's excellent advice, and also an excellent place to leave it there for today. But Peter, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a pleasure chatting, and again, thank you so much for all your insights.
Thank you for having me.
Just before we go, though, don't forget that if you enjoy listening to the Friends with Money podcast, we'd love for you to recommend it to your own friends or family, or you can help us out by leaving a review on iTunes or the Apple Podcast app. You can also send in any questions, comments, or even topics you'd love for us to cover to our dedicated email, which is podcast@moneymag.com.au. And finally, make sure you head over to moneymag.com.au for all the latest financial news and stories, including from yours truly. That's it for this episode. I'm Tom Watson. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.